KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Scott Schaefer. Families of two California soldiers shot to death in Iraq in 2004 will be briefed today on an official report into their deaths. Military investigators say the two men were murdered by Iraqi civil defense officers patrolling with them 2 years ago this week. A new environmental report finds that the kind of pollution that contributes to global warming is a growing problem in California. According to the nonprofit advocacy group Environment California, the amount of toxic emissions produced by the Golden State has skyrocketed over the past four decades. From KPBS in San Diego, Beth Ford Roth has more.
The study is based on analysis of data from the U.S. Department of Energy. It finds carbon dioxide emissions have increased 85% in California between 1960 and 2001. The report points to power plants as the biggest source of CO2 emissions, with passenger vehicles coming in second. Environment California's Jennifer Tung says it's time for state and local leaders to take action.
If left unchecked, global warming threatens to raise sea levels, inundating California's coast, and cause serious water shortages as Sierra Nevada snowpack-fed rivers and streams would dry up.
Environment California is backing legislation that targets greenhouse gases. AB 32 would make California the first state in the nation to implement a mandatory cap on the amount of CO2 emissions power plants and refineries can produce. The California Chamber of Commerce is opposed to the bill, saying it would be too costly for the state's businesses. For the California Report, I'm Beth Ford Roth in San Diego.
San Francisco supervisors today will take up legislation requiring private employers to help pay health care costs of uninsured residents. The plan isn't health insurance, but would offer residents without coverage access to doctors and clinics in San Francisco only. And census officials say the Sacramento suburb of Elk Grove is the fastest growing city in the U.S., growing 11.6% in a one-year period. Other California cities in the top 10, Moreno Valley, Rancho Cucamonga, and Irvine. One of the most controversial bills in the state legislature to legalize physician-assisted suicide was the subject of a lengthy hearing Tuesday. Assembly Bill 651 is modeled after the law in Oregon, a law that was upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court earlier this year. And as Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers reports, the information-only hearing touched on a number of difficult issues.
The bill would allow terminally ill patients with 6 months or less to live to receive a fatal dose of drugs after consulting with at least two doctors and after two waiting periods. But Tuesday's long discussion was more about the issue in general. A half dozen experts in the fields of medicine and ethics discussed everything from how much freedom an individual has to what kind of responsibility a physician has when it comes to length of life versus quality of life. Ben Rich, a professor of bioethics, told members of the Senate Judiciary Committee too much emphasis in the debate has focused on the proper role of doctors, and too little attention has been paid to the rights of patients. And he said critics ignore the legally sanctioned choices to die that already exist.
Not only do we allow patients who retain decisional capacity to ask to have life support removed and to bring about their certain death, but we allow surrogates to do that, sometimes on precious little supporting evidence.
Rich also noted that modern medicine considers death to be a failure, while in previous times the continuation of suffering was seen as failure. That sentiment was echoed by Dr. Nicholas Gideons, an Oregon physician who says he has helped seven patients in their life since the law went into effect there in 1997.
They were all characteristic and having a long history of independent decision-making and deeply involved in medical care, and everyone would have chosen cure in life if that was an option. But that was not the option with what they were presented.
But on the other side, opponents of physician-assisted suicide argued the true feelings of a patient are not always so easy to grasp. Some mentioned studies that conclude terminally ill patients often change their minds many times about whether they want to keep living. Dr. Alina Bleeker says some of her colleagues don't really know the patient's ups and downs.
Many physicians are truly not trained on how to understand and comprehend whether or not a patient is depressed, whether or not their decision is authentic.
And bioethicist Wesley Smith suggested that legal euthanasia opens the door to all kinds of decisions that may not be in the best interest of the public in general.
We have to be very careful here. Public policy is to protect the lives of all citizens, which is why we have suicide prevention centers, and why, indeed, if someone is deemed beyond a reasonable doubt to be a self-destructive, that we can treat them and do treat them every day to protect their lives.
Every seat in the hearing room was filled Tuesday, yet only three of the five members of the Senate Judiciary Committee showed up. A formal vote is scheduled for next week. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
Earth science researchers at Stanford University are teaming up with a Silicon Valley technology powerhouse. Sun Microsystems is helping to develop tools for scientists studying everything from climate change to earthquakes. San Jose Bureau Chief Peter John Schuler has more.
Sun is donating $3 million in hardware and cash for the new Stanford Center for Computational Earth and Environmental Science. According to director and geophysics professor Jerry Harris, Stanford went to Sun with a request for help because of its expertise in both computer hardware and software.
You know, we aren't necessarily interested in the fastest computer. We're interested in computer systems that allow us to do our work easier and better and do more of that work. So we're interested not in a high-performance system necessarily, but a high productivity system.
That started a dialogue that led to the current Geoscience Center. In addition to doing research on how the Earth behaves, both below ground and above ground, the center is geared to do work with more immediate financial rewards, such as charting pockets of crude oil and natural gas to assist energy exploration. In addition to the obvious profit potential of finding better ways to look for fuel, says Sun's Jörg Schwartz, the company's engineers want to see how scientists use their products.
We want to learn from the researchers what their problems are so we can build better tools. Ultimately, our goal is for a researcher to use these facilities should be as easy as using his pocket calculator, and you don't have to be a computer scientist to use a pocket calculator. So you shouldn't have to be a computer scientist to use a computer system, even if it's a huge one.
Among the goals is to look at larger sections of the Earth at a higher resolution than currently possible, and to do more accurate recreations of earthquakes. For the California Report, I'm Peter John Schuler.
And that's the California Report for this first day of summer, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Healthcare Foundation, committed to improving California's healthcare delivery and financing systems, on the web at chcf.org.